Yeah, there you go, Mike. All right. Job is going to fit right in with whatever everybody's feeling looks like. Yeah, I wondered about the subject matter in Sunday school. Fasting is such an exciting topic that a sarcasm. Yeah. Job chapters, we're going to cover two chapters this morning, probably not going to read every word of them, but these next two chapters in Job are a criticism coming from one of Job's three friends, and you could put friends in quotes, friends, and I give you this, maybe this is the main point of what we're talking about this morning. If you don't serve the Lord, things are designed in such a way that if you don't serve the Lord, you will become a critic of those that do. And Eliphaz, one of Job's three friends, he becomes a critic of something God's done in Job's life. Really doesn't know what he's talking about, although some of these arguments, if you just pulled them out of context, they sound kind of reasonable. But to get you up to speed on where we're at here, Job has just been completely devastated. His the devil, God's given permission to the devil to get involved in Job's life, to put it lightly. And Job is, he's lost all 10 of his children in a day. He's lost everything he owns. So this is not like just a bad day where the AC goes out. This is, everything is gone. Job has nothing. He lost all his children. He lost all his property. His wife has said, curse God and die. I mean, there's just nothing really left to live for. Everything you've put your life into is gone. And so, and you can understand Job's wife went through the same thing. She lost 10 children too. She lost everything too. And so on top of that, after Job's complete catastrophic loss of everything by the devil, by design by the devil, Jesus Christ said, the thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's exactly what he does in Job's life. Destroys everything. On top of all that, Job is now covered with boils from head to toe. Just extreme discomfort. So on top of the emotional pain, the catastrophic emotional pain that he suffered, that his wife has suffered, Job is now physically suffering from these boils. And if you can just imagine, if you maybe you've had one or two, he is covered in them. And I imagine he can't get comfortable. He can't sleep. His only refuge is to grab a piece of broken pottery to scrape those boils and scratch them and get the pus out. But he has no comfort at all. And so he sits for a week, and these three friends show up, and they come to show some support for Job. And so for a week, they all sit there and don't say a word. And that's great. They do great for a week. They don't say anything because there's just nothing to say. And then Job, he curses the day he was born. He wishes he had never been born. He just, and rightfully, I mean, understandably so. He's just completely miserable. And so after he curses the day he's born and just his whole life at this point in Job chapter 3, Eliphaz, one of his friends, says he can't bear to listen to Job, and he's just got to have something to say. He's just got to talk. I've got to say what's on my mind here. And so Job chapter 4, verse 1, Bible says, "Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, If we essay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking?" Meaning, I just can't hold it in anymore. I got to say something, Job. I got to say something to you. Verse 3, "Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it has come upon thee, and thou faintest. It toucheth thee, and thou art troubled. Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy ways?" All right, I'm going to stop there. We'll pray, and I'm going to explain, show you all of these accusations. But here's the point of what Eliphaz has done. The devil, you're not going to read about the devil anymore in Job. Eliphaz is going to pick up where the devil left off. The devil has left Job with nothing. He's lost his family, he's lost all his possessions, and you're not going to see the devil anymore. And what Eliphaz is going to do, and these three friends, they're going to pick up where the devil left off and become critics of Job's life now. But let's pray, and we'll talk about these things. Father, I thank you so much for, Lord, for your words. Father, for those that are sick this morning, I know there's several sick this morning. Pray you'd heal up their bodies, Lord, and then the spouses of those that are sick, Lord, I pray that you'd give them grace and help to be able to be a help to their spouse while they're sick, and kids that are sick. And Father, I pray that this morning we'd get what we need out of your words, and we would understand this truth about picking up where the devil left off, and if you're not going to serve the Lord, you'll become a critic of God's work. And I pray we'd understand that. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be servants of you. And the Lord, if anybody here is not saved, Father, I pray today to be the day of their salvation. They would understand their need for Jesus Christ, that there's no other hope, there's no other life. Nobody else has died for their sins and then resurrected to offer them eternal life. I pray they'd understand that. But Lord, I pray we'd all get what we need from you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so after the devil is done with Job, Eliphaz, like I said, picks up the devil's mantle here. And he's going to begin to accuse Job. And for two chapters, this is what he does. And like I said, I'm not going to read all these verses, but I'm going to give you the gist of this, because the point of this is, I think, fairly precise. It is becoming a critic of what God's doing. Eliphaz says this in the first couple verses. He says, I just can't hold it in anymore. I've got to say something to you, Job. I've heard you complain about your life, which I don't know what Eliphaz expects Job to do at this point. I don't know what you expect from him. Your expectations are obviously unreasonable, but Eliphaz listens to Job curse his birthday, curse his life, and he says, I gotta say something to you. I gotta say something to you. And the first thing he says, and here's the accusations. These accusations are going to be very, if not the same, they're very similar to the accusations against Jesus Christ. The first accusation is the accusation that was against Jesus Christ. Physician, heal thyself. Job, you've been an instructor to many people. Job, you have helped many people. You've been able to bring someone through a period of grief and help them find their way to the Lord. But now all of a sudden you're in grief, Job, and you can't handle it. That's the accusation. Physician, heal thyself. You are an instructor, but now you can't handle your own medicine. What's the deal, Job? I mean, the idea is save yourself. You were a help to some people, but now what's happened? Look what he says in verse 3. Behold, thou hast instructed many. Thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling. Thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it has come upon thee, and thou faintest. It touches thee, and thou art troubled. This is the most unreasonable accusation you've ever read. Job, you were a helper to other people. Now all of a sudden you can't handle it when you need help. I don't know what this fella thought Job was supposed to react like in this situation. How are you supposed to lose everything and just go on with your life? You don't. You can't. God has allowed something to happen in Job's life that will try his faith, and it will put the devil and God and Job in the middle of this thing, and God's contention is that you're not going to break Job down. The devil's contention is, yeah, I can break Job down. Let me have his stuff, and he'll curse you to your face. Let me have his health. He'll curse you to his face. God says, oh, you can take it, but he's not going to curse me. And he doesn't. He doesn't ever do it. At least not here. Not yet. And so after losing everything, Eliphaz says, verse 5, but now it's come upon thee and thou faintest. Well, what do you expect him to do? Do you expect him to just go back to work? He doesn't have anything. Do you expect him to be happy? He lost everything he owns. Not only that, more importantly, he lost all of his family. What kind of a critical spirit is this? So this guy just picks right up where the devil left off. The devil just destroys everything in Job's life, just leaves it a huge mess of just dirt and ashes everywhere. And then here comes this fellow who's supposed to be Job's friend and starts to criticize Job for losing everything and then reacting to it. Who are you to criticize Job? What have you ever done with your life? I mean, here is Job's going to ask that in a little while, a few chapters later. Here's the point of this. If you're not going to serve God, no matter how reasonable you think your criticisms are, you will become, by design, a critic of those that are serving God. You're not more intelligent than the devil. You're not more cunning than the devil. You're not going to live your own life. If you won't serve God, you will watch people who do and find places to criticize them, and that will become your life. That's Eliphaz. Eliphaz wasn't chosen for this. Why? Because Eliphaz isn't anyone to choose. Job was chosen for this. And you'd say, hey, don't volunteer me. I don't want to be involved in that. But Job was chosen because he's a faithful man. And God was going to put that faith on trial and test that thing and put pressure on it and prove to the devil that, no, you're not going to break Job's faith down. You know who God can't do that with? Someone who doesn't have any faith. I can't put your faith on trial because you have none. I can't put any pressure on you because there's nothing to put pressure on. You say, well, I don't want any pressure or anything like that. Okay, you won't get it from the Lord. I mean, you won't have any benefit from the Lord. But what will happen is this. If you will not serve God, you will become a critic of those who are. Here's Eliphaz. Who is Eliphaz to criticize Job? What did Eliphaz do with his life? What has Eliphaz done that makes him able to observe and interpret the catastrophe that's become Job's life? Who is he? He has no idea what's happened. But yet he comes in and he says, I got to say something to you, Job. I just got to say this to you. I've been listening to you. I've watched what's happened. And let me tell you what's going on with your life. Now that you've instructed all these people and told them how to live, now you can't even toe the line and live the way you told other people to. At least in that criticism, at least there's an acceptance that Job has been a help to people. Eliphaz wasn't a help to anybody. What benefit has he provided? Look over. I'm going to show you this. Look over in Job chapter 26. I'm going to try to break down the criticisms here. But Eliphaz is just—he's just picking up where the devil left off. And you got to be careful with your life. If you're not going to serve God, you'll just pick up where the devil leaves off. Here's what Job finally says to him. Job 26, verse 1, Job answered and said, how hast thou helped him that is without power? What have you ever done? How savest thou the arm that hath no strength? How hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom? How hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? To whom hast thou uttered words, and whose spirit came from thee? You know what? He's done with the criticisms. You guys that have the criticisms, you don't have any experience enough to know what in the world is happening here. Here you are just showing up and becoming a critical spirit of something God is doing in someone's life, and you have no idea what God's doing. All you're interpreting this is from your eyes, what I can see. All I see is disaster, so that means this guy's wrong with God because there's trouble in his life. And you never thought to think or stop to think, maybe the trouble is there because God can trust Job with the trouble. Now, who wants to volunteer for that? Nobody. But who wants to volunteer to work for the devil and become a critical spirit? I don't want to serve God, so I'm just going to find fault with those that do. Yeah, the Lord showed me some things. I'm going to serve God my way. I'll do my thing. And all those people that are serving God, you're not going to phrase it that way. But that's what you're going to do. You just pick right up where the devil left off. That's Eliphaz. His criticism is, Job, save yourself. You've had all this advice for other people. Now take your own advice. You know what they said to Jesus Christ? When they saw Jesus Christ on the cross, they said, he saved others. Why don't you get off the cross and save yourself? You fool, you have no idea what Jesus Christ is doing. You have no idea what Jesus Christ is doing for you who are accusing him. He saved others. Why doesn't he save himself? Jesus Christ said one time in Luke chapter 4, he says, this is what they're going to say of me. They're going to use the proverb, physician, heal thyself. That's what Eliphaz says to Job. Heal yourself. You're the instructor. Do something about it. The most insane, irrational argument. Has no idea what he's talking about. This is the accusation against Jesus Christ, though. I would say in that accusation, there is implied the reality that Job has been a help to people. And just like he asks later on in Job chapter 26, what did you ever do with your life to make you a critic? What did God ever do with your life to make your opinion valuable enough to make you a critic of what God's doing in someone else's life? The first criticism is, Job, save yourself. By design, by the devil's design, people who are serving God, trying to apply God's words to their own lives, these folks are an irritation to people who will not serve God. And you ought to think about that in your own life. Where do I stand with God's people? Where do I stand? There's some people that I can think about. I think of them serving the Lord. Where do I stand with them? Do they irritate me? Or do I find camaraderie with them? Because if they irritate me, the side I'm taking is the devil's side, where I'm just going to find fault with what they're doing. And by design, if you're not going to serve the Lord, you're going to pick right up where the devil left off and become an accuser of those that are. That's Eliphaz. That's what he's done. Maybe it's time to try. Maybe it's time to try to start serving the Lord so you stop being a critic of those who are. Eliphaz is just critical. Has no idea what's going on. Second thing is this. His accusation has no charge. Look in verse 7. And I know there's a couple chapters. I'm trying to get through it. Verse 7, he says, "Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent." You know what's implied there? Job, you're not innocent. That's why all these bad things are happening. Because you're guilty of something. "Whoever perished being innocent, or where were the righteous cut off? Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same." You know what he just said? What Eliphaz just said to Job implied? All this trouble only comes to wicked people, Job. Don't you understand? If you were righteous, good things would happen to you. But since you're wicked, bad things are happening to you. Now here's the problem. Eliphaz can't point out any wickedness. So it's just an accusation. You're a bad person. You're a fool. Okay. What have I done wrong? Well, I don't know. I just know that bad things happen to bad people. No, you don't know that. He says, when were the righteous ever cut off? That's what Eliphaz asked. Well, Eliphaz, Abel was cut off. Abel got killed by a wicked brother. He got cut off. Maybe you ought to consider something like that. Maybe it's not about this prosperity gospel where, hey, if you believe God, good things are gonna, you're gonna get the abundant life of stuff and things. Maybe the abundant life is where your faith is tested. And God finds that, like he says in Peter, he finds that that's what's precious to him. This is precious. Where it builds up gold and precious stones and silver and all those things where the faith is tested in this world. The abundant life is not here in this earth, not now anyway. How many times have we said it's not your best life now? Your best, if you're saved, your best life is in the future. Quit making investments or taking up all of your time and energy with stuff that's not going to last. So here's Eliphaz. "Job, I know that only bad things happen to bad people." Okay, Eliphaz, what have I done wrong? Well, I don't know. I just know that bad things happen to bad people. You know what Jesus Christ said one time? He says, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" You point out the thing that I've done, and I'll own up to it. But I haven't done anything. There's nothing wrong. This hasn't happened because something's wrong in my life. This has happened because something's very right in my life. And again, you know, we all say, don't volunteer me for that. But the other side of that is, if you're not going to volunteer to serve the Lord, you just volunteer to serve the devil. What does he say in Timothy? "Who are taken captive at his own will," the devil's will. Snared, taken captive by him at his own will. You aren't going to outsmart a being that's thousands of years older than you. You aren't going to outsmart a being who has he crafted the blueprint for your own nature. He's the one that made the blueprint for your human nature. You aren't going to outsmart him. I'm going to do my own thing. That's what the devil said. Accuser has no specific charge. Eliphaz, just an accusation. Just, you know. And here's the point of this. The trial of someone's faith is precious to the Lord. But to the devil's children, the trial of someone's faith is evidence against God. He says over in Philippians, he says, "And nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition." That's what they think when they see trouble. But to you, of salvation and that of God. Don't you, if you're saved, you're trying to serve the Lord, don't you see trouble as confirmation that you're doing the right thing sometimes? On the other hand, the devil's children see trouble in your life and they see that as confirmation that your God is not powerful. It's the same set of facts. It's the same set of events. Different interpretation. But interpretations belong to God, and He knows what He's doing. He's the one that's ordered this thing. He's the one that's prescribed and given the devil reign in certain areas. The baseless accusation. This is what Jesus Christ endured as well. You know, Jesus Christ stood before Pilate, and three times Pilate says, "I find no fault at all in him." He's over there in John 18. Pilate examines him, and he goes out to the people and he says, I find no fault in him. And the people say, "Crucify him." And he goes back over there and talks to Jesus Christ again. Asks him a couple questions, makes a couple statements. Goes back out to the people. He says, "I don't find any fault in him." Then the people say, "Crucify him, kill him, give us Barabbas." Why? "We just hate him." Remember, if you're not going to serve God, you're going to become a critic of those who do. Third time. Pilate goes over there, ask him questions, goes back to the people, and finally says, "What do you want me to do with him?" And they say, "Crucify him." And Pilate says, "Okay, I don't find any fault with him, but crucify him." What's the point of all that? Accusations are baseless. There's no point, there's no item, there's no crime been committed that he can point out. Eliphaz just says, bad things happen to bad people, therefore, since bad things have happened to you, you're wicked, Job. But that's not true. His accusations are without merit. And then watch this. This is, I don't know, not funny, but interesting. This is what folks do to bolster their vain argument. They make things up. Verse 12. Here's Eliphaz. Now watch this. He's going to tell a ghost story. Here's a ghost story, kids, in the Bible. Sunday morning, ghost story. Here you go. Eliphaz says this. "Now a thing was secretly brought to me, and an ear received a little thereof. In thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth on men, fear came upon me in trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then," here it goes, "then a spirit passed before my face. Hair on my flesh stood up." Oh my goodness. "It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, shall mortal man be more just than God? You liar, Eliphaz, you never saw anything. You liar. This is what he does. He brings an accusation. He has no basis for the accusation. So just like every other false prophet that shows up in history, he has some ghost story to tell about why his accusation is right. You know how Islam was started? Somebody seeing a vision of an angel. You didn't see any angel. You didn't see any vision. If God wants you to see an angel, you'll see an angel. If God doesn't want you to see an angel, you didn't see an angel. You know how Mormonism was started? An angel. Somebody saw an angel. Joseph Smith. I see an angel. And this angel interpreted. He showed me where these golden plates are. And he showed me how to interpret. If I put my face in the hat, then I'll learn what the interpretation of these golden plates are. You liar. You never saw an angel. You didn't see nothing. You know how Jehovah's Witnesses were started? Somebody saw an angel. You liar. You never saw an angel. Eliphaz, Job, I know what I'm telling you is true because you know what happened? I saw a ghost, and this ghost was in my room, and it said, shall man be more righteous than God? You liar, Eliphaz. You didn't see anything. You're just trying to make your point. And you have no basis to make your point, so you're going to make up a story to make up your point. He tells a good story, though. Sounds good. Probably on the Sci-Fi Channel. You might be able to watch it. I saw this image. I couldn't tell what it looked like. I couldn't tell the form of it. It was just kind of foggy. And there was this light. And it just said something to me. And what it said, exactly what I was thinking about your own life, Job. It told me what I was thinking about your life. This is how I know your life is wrong and I'm right. You liar. You're a liar. Look over here. Look in Colossians. Let me show you something. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18. Colossians 2:18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. Watch this. Intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind. Intruding into things he hasn't seen. You haven't seen any of that. You don't know what you're talking about. The only thing you're trying to do, Eliphaz, is make a point. And you don't have any basis for your point, so you're just going to make up a story that nobody can verify. That's the idea. Nobody can verify this story. Nobody else was there. It was just me and the ghost. And the ghost said, shall mortal man be more righteous than God? And that's how I knew I was right, Job. You know, when they were trying to figure out a way to accuse Jesus Christ, they start hauling these witnesses in. And none of these witnesses can agree with each other. And so they're standing in court and they're trying to testify to the detectives or whoever is there, you know, I guess not in court yet. They're giving their statements to the detectives, and this guy doesn't match with this guy, and this guy, I mean, you can tell it's all a big joke. Till finally they pay off a couple guys to agree and then present the accusation to the priest, but the whole thing is made up. It's a complete joke. It's all a lie. This idea of secret knowledge. Let me. All right. I'm going to show you this one thing here about this particular thing. Look over in Isaiah 8. I'm going to try not to keep you this long, but two chapters is a lot to cover. Isaiah 8. And I want to get this stuff. There's such a fascination with this ghost stuff and wizards and spirits and whatever. Such a fascination with it. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. Says, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits." Familiar spirits. You know what a familiar spirit is? You go, you sit with a psychic, and this psychic says, does the letter J have any meaning to you? Oh man, oh, that's Uncle Johnny. That's him. Is it you? You know what that is? That's a spirit that's familiar to you. I'm seeing the letter P. P. Peter. Peter. How's my neighbor? Give me a break. But you know what it is? It's just familiar people. Familiar spirit. He says, why are you going to these? Verse 19. When they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits. And unto wizards that peep and that mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God? Amen to that. What are you wasting your time with tombstones and cemeteries for? Go to the living. Verse 20. To the law. Here's the explanation. To the law and to the testimonies. That's the scriptures. To the law and to the testimonies, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. Here's the deal. You saw a vision. Okay. Does your vision match the word of God? Well, you know, I was a boy and I went to heaven or I went to hell and I saw these things and, okay, I write a book about it. Okay. Does your book match God's book? Well, not exactly. Okay, then you didn't see what you thought you saw. Or you did see it, and it's just in your mind. I see things in dreams after I eat pizza, and doesn't mean it's real. I saw the thing, and I was scared, and I woke up, and my heart was beating, but it wasn't real. To the law and to the testimonies, if they don't speak according to this, it's because there's no light in them. You go to the graveyard, you go to the seance, you go to the whatever, prophet, healer. If he doesn't say what's in here, there's no light in him. So that should be comforting because and that means all I need to know is this. If I know this, then I know what's going on. But apparently seeking unto familiar spirits and wizards and Harry Potter or whatever else is the new thing, you know, the magic and stuff like that. That's popular. That's fun. It's a game. Eliphaz tells the ghost story. Job, this is how I know what's happening to you. I understand what's going on. Because I saw this ghost and he told me what was going on. And now I'm going to relay it to you. Anybody else see the ghost, Eliphaz? No, no one else was in the room. Of course, nobody was in the room. Yeah, I understand. Give me a break, Eliphaz. You're just an accuser. You've just picked up where the devil left off. You have no basis for what you're saying. All you've become is a critic of someone who's serving God. That's all you've become. Back over in Job, I'm going to try to move a little bit faster, sorry. Hopefully you like the ghost stories. Secret knowledge, blah, blah, blah. Job chapter 5, Eliphaz, I'll give you one or two points in chapter 5 here. Eliphaz is going to accuse Job and claim to speak for God now. Verse 1, he says, "Call now if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints wilt thou turn?" Interesting, this is a long time ago, 1500 B.C. "For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one." Skip down to verse 8. After all this, this is what Eliphaz says. He says to Job, here's what I would do, Job. Verse 8, "I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause." Job, Eliphaz, you have no idea what seeking unto God means. You're just a critic of someone who has. Here's what I would do, Job. Here's Eliphaz talking. Here's what I would do, Job. Your problem is you're not right with God. And here's what I would do. I would seek God. You need to pray. You need to read your Bible. And those things are good, and you benefit from them. But Eliphaz, you don't have any idea what you're talking about. You have no idea what you're talking about. Job, if you're looking for my advice, and I know you probably are, here's what I would do. I would just seek God. It's no wonder Job finally asked him, "What have you ever done with your life, man? I mean, who are you to come here and criticize?" Verse 8, "I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause." Now, you know, if you just take that verse right out of its context, that sounds good. You probably preach on that. Hey, seek God. You need to seek God. But in context, atrocious. Just a critic, has no idea what he's talking about. Look down in verse 26. Eliphaz says, "Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age." If you seek God, this is what's going to happen. "Come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season." Now watch this, verse 27. "Lo this, we have searched it, so it is, hear it, and know thou it for thy good." Job, I'm telling you this for your benefit. Now you've heard my advice, listen to it. It's good advice. It's for your benefit, Job. Eliphaz, shut up, man. You don't have any idea what you're talking about. The accuser claims to speak for God. You know what Jesus Christ said? In John 16, he says, "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you thinketh he doeth God service." You're so turned around. You think if you destroy God's servants that you're doing God a service now. You think if you see someone who is serving God, who has his life has become a catastrophic mess because God was going to try his faith, and you look at that man or woman and you cast judgment on that. And now you're going to claim to speak for God. Let me tell you, Job, this is the advice that you need to hear. And I know it's tough to hear, but this is what you need to listen to. Eliphaz, get away, man. Go home. Go back to your house. Grow up. Start to walk by faith, not by sight. The accuser claims to speak for God. He says in verse 17 there, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." You know, if you just took that verse out of its context, that sounds good. Don't despise the chastening hand of God. Great. Reasonable. But you put it in the context it's in here, makes no sense, because that's not the application. Job isn't being chastened by God. Job's faith is being made more valuable through pressure. The accuser claims to speak for God. Eliphaz says Job's not looking for God to help him. That's his problem. There's a proverb that says this. It says, accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee and thou be found guilty. Here's the application in all this. Some of you may find yourself more at home with the world than the people of God. You find more camaraderie with the world than people who are serving God. You know what you're going to become toward the people who are serving God? A critic. Eliphaz. And you'll make stuff up. And you'll exaggerate. And you'll talk about how they're doing it wrong here. And how you know, you would do it better. Or maybe not you would do it better, but you know, they're just doing it wrong. I would be very careful. You find yourself more at home with the world and with the devil's crowd than you do with people who are serving God. You know what crowd you're with? The devil's crowd. You know who you're going to become critical of? Not sin. Not the world. But God's people. Eliphaz. Some of you may not serve God just like Eliphaz. You just pick up where the devil left off. You find yourself critical of people who are trying to serve the Lord. That's because you're a child of the devil, just doing the devil's work. You know what Eliphaz did? He just picked right up where the devil left off. The devil left ashes and dirt and catastrophe in Job's life. And then after chapter 2, you don't see the devil anymore. But you know who you see? Some guy named Eliphaz just picked right up where the devil left off and start to accuse Job. Well, you're this, Job. You're that, Job. This happened because this. This is that. Here's the reason. You're not seeking God, Job. That's why trouble's in your life. Just the child of the devil, doing the devil's work, criticizing what God's trying to do in a man's life. I encourage you this morning, quit pretending. Quit siding with the devil. Quit towing the line for the devil. Trust Jesus Christ by repenting of that critical spirit. But you know how you get rid of a critical spirit? Get involved in what's going on. Start serving the Lord. Be a part of what God's doing. Anybody can sit on the sidelines and criticize. And inevitably, by design, if you're not going to serve God, you will become a critic of what God's doing. Eliphaz picks right up where the devil left off. Instead, serve the Lord. Do something productive with your life, something that will last. Take up the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ and serve Him. You want to get rid of a critical spirit? Serve the Lord. You want to be a child of the devil? Stop serving the Lord. Serve the devil. Pick up the mantle that the devil left. Start carrying it around, accusing. Yeah. Watch him. Yeah, he's, you know, I know there's some things going on there and blah, blah, blah. Get in the game. Don't be critical. But I can say don't be critical, but you're going to be critical if you're not going to serve God. That's Eliphaz. Eliphaz wasn't chosen for this. He just shows up, and it would have been better for him to just keep his mouth shut. But he says, no, I got to say something to you, Job. You know, I just got to say this to you. It's been weighing on my heart. I've been listening to you talk. And let me tell you, here's what's happening. Eliphaz, go home, man. You have no idea what's going on. You can't criticize God's work because you're not involved in it and you have no idea what's happening in it. Go home. Do something else with your life. But I encourage you this morning, serve the Lord. Don't be critical. That's Eliphaz. just picking right up where the devil left off. As Sam comes and plays a little bit, these accusations Eliphaz makes against Job are accusations that Jesus Christ had made against him by people who claim to be serving God. As Sam plays a little bit on the piano, altar's open if you want to come down to the altar and do some business with the Lord. Think about that critical spirit. That thing came from somewhere. That thing comes from somewhere. Don't pick up where the devil left off. Yoke up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Serve Him. Altar's open.